tonight really is aimed at making sure that we stay in love with Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24, the Bible says this, "And let us consider one another." Now, this written to save people, you'd agree. Amen. We're not those hyper-dispensationalists to say that anything that Paul didn't write is not for the church. That's ridiculous. Amen. We're dispensationalists, but we're not hyper-dispensationalists. And so a lot of people will take Hebrews and James and 1st, 2nd Peter and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John and Jude, and they'll chunk it into tribulation, dispensation, and I just don't see how you get that. But anyway, the Bible says this in verse 24, "Let us consider one another." Now the church then, the church, the body of Christ, all those of us who are saved tonight, we are to consider one another in our church. At Spring City Baptist Church, and we've said a lot about this. I got preached a lot about this during the 90th anniversary. That listen, the church, it's a big deal to be a part of God's church. It ought to be an honor to be a part of the body of Christ. The Bible says we ought to prefer one another in honor, and that we're to esteem others in the church now better than ourselves. And that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, and that we're to provide for the needs of those and help bear one another's burdens and all those great promises and commands that God gives to the church. And one of them's here and he says we're to consider one another. Meaning that none of us here lives our life in a vacuum. Nobody here lives their lives unto themselves. And you've heard me say this before, but everything that I do affects this church. Everything that you do affects this church. Every decision we make, every conversation we have in town, every decision that we make in terms of how we use our money or what we're going to do this week, or am I going to carve out time on Saturday night so that I can get to bed early enough and get to church on time Sunday and get there alive and not just dragging in like a zombie. Amen. And those are all just simple examples, but we're to live our lives in consideration of each other at Spring City Baptist Church. When we leave out of this place, it's not like we've come I keep saying this word, a vacuum, but you come in here and okay, I'm here now, but then I go away and I'm not part of the church anymore. We're always a part of the church. And more so than the decisions and the words that we say and all those kind of things, they affect this church. They ultimately affect Jesus Christ, who's the head of the body. And so the Lord says, let us consider one another. And here's the reason why. To provoke unto love and to good works. And so all of us here are to make decisions. All of us here are to live our lives. All of us here are to always have in consideration in our mind, if I do this, is it going to provoke my church to love Jesus and do good works? If I say this, is it going to provoke my church to love Jesus and to do good works? And God's really got a sense of humor, even though he said that preaching pleased him. He called it what? He called it foolishness. And a fool's known by the multitude of words. You say as many words as I do, you're going to say some stupid stuff. God help me. Amen. God help me. I want everything that I say to this church from this pulpit to provoke you unto love and unto good works. That is genuinely my heart's desire. And so our lives are intertwined. As the Bible says, we're knit together over there in one of those Pauline epistles. And everything that we do affects each other. And so the Lord's asked us here to consider one another, to provoke unto love and unto good works. And he says, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And so the assembling together, you know, maybe it's a fault, maybe it's a weakness, I don't know what it is. But I'm going to say more about this here in a minute. I like standing on the porch and greeting people as they come in the church. It's just, I just like doing it. Number one, you can tell if anybody's mad at you. It's a good testing, but no, sort of kidding, but not really. But I like that, and I like being out there because it you know, you can greet people with a smile and, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Welcome home. Some folks walking in this morning, been out of town, and you just get to kind of set the tone for things. And I like that. The assembling of ourselves together is an important thing. And just to be really transparent with you, I'll stand out there sometimes, it'll be about 3 minutes till. And in my mind, I'm thinking, man, so-and-so's not here. It's to be about 5 minutes till, and you start sort of taking account of who's in the parking lot, and you sort of look back in the sanctuary, who's. And about 2 minutes till, or 1 minute till, or 5 minutes after, whenever it is I decide to come in, if folks aren't here, we miss them. Because it's a body. And the assembling of ourselves together is the time that we come together to fellowship with each other, and we fellowship with the Lord through Jesus Christ. We understand that in 1 John. But it's a time that we come together and we get the world outside these walls, amen, in this sanctuary. And we sing praises to Jesus Christ, and we let those psalms and hymns and spiritual songs minister to our heart. And then we have prayer time, and we bring our offerings and our alms to God, and we give because we love God, we worship Him, and then we all sit down in the quietness of the hour, and we open the Bible, and we see what thus saith the Lord. It's really a special time. You don't get this just anywhere. You can't go to the movie theater and get this. You can't go to any restaurant and get this. Certainly won't get it at the ball game or the race car track or out on the lake, amen. I've seen some really blasphemous statements by fly fishermen. It's the fly fisherman, Brother Mark, because spin fishermen would never say something like this. Say something like, I'd rather be fishing and thinking about God than in church thinking about fishing. Well, just get a hold of your mind. You can come to church and think about God. Amen. But you understand what the slide is there. And so anyway, the assembling of the saints is an important thing. And when we come back to the assembling and we think about verse 24, we're to consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. You know what your attendance here tonight does? It encourages me to come back Wednesday night. Just frankly tonight, if I came in here tonight and there were two or three people that showed up after having however many we had this morning, but only two or three showed up on Wednesday night, it'd be really difficult to try to come back in here on Wednesday night. You understand what I'm saying? Would it not? And if you were one of the two or three and you look around, where is everybody? Then to come in on Wednesday and you're talking about bass fishing, and this doesn't, I know, you're here, I get it, okay? The point I'm trying to make is this. When we're talking about provoking one another to love and good works, assembling together in the church is one of those love and good works things. It's good to be here. And when we're not here, listen, we understand folks are sick. By all means, stay home and get better. But to just be out, it doesn't encourage the church. It doesn't edify the church. It doesn't provoke us unto love and good works. It actually does the opposite. Well, I just don't think it ought to be that way. Well, sorry, we're human beings. It's just the way we are. And so I got three words on my heart tonight. And those three words are exciting, existing, and exiting. Exciting, existing, or exiting. I've already preached a long time, but we better pray. Okay, Lord, let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the night. Lord, thank you for these folks who have been so faithful to come back to church. We appreciate the good service you gave us this morning and just ask now, Lord, that you'd help our hearts. Lord, help me as I speak tonight. Pray you'd speak through me. Lord, that the words that come forth out of my mouth would be pleasing in your sight. And Lord, that the preaching would be in demonstration of the spirit of power. They would fall upon receptive hearts, be mixed with faith, that it might be profitable and effectual. Lord, I know these folks are here tonight on Sunday night. They're the faithful of the faithful, and I appreciate that. Lord, it's such an honor to pastor these folks. May God please help us to consider one another and to provoke one another unto love and unto good works. And Lord, I pray that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together in these last days as we see the day of Christ approaching. And pray that you'd help us, Lord, in our hearts genuinely Lord, to love you so much that we can honestly say all that thrills my soul is Jesus. Thank you for our church. Pray you'd help us now tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Exciting, existing, or exiting. And so this word, exciting. You ever just sat back and thought, what is it that excites me? We can generally tell what excites people when we talk to them, can't we? But the old adage is, if you want to know what somebody really loves, just sit down and talk to them for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes. They'll tell you. What's exciting to us is, you know, eating a good meal is probably exciting to us, right? And maybe taking a nap on Sunday afternoon is exciting. As unexciting as that is, it's exciting to many. And now there's all kinds of things that thrill our soul and excite us. And we've really been talking downstairs with the boys a lot about priorities in life and making sure that God has the priority in our life and in our schedules and our purposes. And I would say tonight that it would say, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. Well, I hope that coming to church is an exciting thing for you. That response didn't convince me. And I know many of you, you've been coming to this church for 40, 50, 60 years. I get it. You've heard a lot of preaching. Well, you start multiplying out three messages a week by ever how many weeks that you've come to church and how many years you've come to church. That's a lot of preaching. And you've heard a lot of the same things. But it still ought to excite us when we come to church. It ought to be part of the highlights of our week. When we come into this place, it ought not be, man, I can't, you know, I hope he doesn't go an hour tonight. I got to get up in the morning and go to work, or I got this going on tomorrow, or, boy, I'm really looking forward to Tuesday when I get to go do. I hope it's exciting for you. It's enjoyable that you anticipate coming to church, and when you get here that you're edified, that you're built up, that you're encouraged along the way, and that it is spiritually fulfilling to you. That you don't feel like you've wasted your time or wasted your effort or wasted your energy. Why, man, there's some church services that if I was in the church, I'd just fire the pastor after that service. Sometimes it, you know, anyway. And so when we come into church, do you think that our attitude affects each other? Sure it does. Okay? Now, but here's what I want to say. Sometimes people look at the pastor and say, you got to be the cheerleader. Number one, I ain't wearing a skirt. Blonde hair, pom-poms, don't have any of that stuff. Okay? I'm human just like you are. Sometimes we've been dealt a rough hand by the world, or we've gone through some difficult situations. And it's hard. It's hard to shed that out of your mind. It's hard to shed that out of your heart and walk in here and act like everything's okay. So I'm not asking you to fake it. But I am asking you, if you come in and you're down, or you've been downtrodden, or difficulties have happened, let God minister to your heart while you're here and cheer your heart and encourage your heart and build you up, and let the saints minister to you and put a hug around your shoulders and shed some tears in prayer. Whatever it takes to get you out of that funk and back into fellowship with God and joy in your step, let it happen. A lot of times we want to hold on to that misery. Somebody going to cheer me up. Our girls, they're little, and even when they're big now, still, they'll get upset about something. We'll look at them and say, don't you smile. About the second time, Brother David, don't you smile, they start cracking it, you know. I'm going to start doing that to y'all when you come in here. Don't you smile. Don't you have a good time in church. Right, anyway. So the Bible says we're to provoke one another into love and good works, and we're to consider one another. And I would say to be excited at church would have a infectious result. Y'all remember Delbert Williams? How could you forget, right? If you don't know who Brother Delbert is, just wait till you get to heaven. He'll outshout you. Brother Delbert sit right here on the front row. He'd just have himself a time. I remember being a teenager here. We thought he was the biggest wacko in the world. Now, I wish I had two or three of them. If anybody wants to be a Delbert, go ahead. And them guys are blessing. If for nothing else, man, listen, that's one of the reasons I do this. Not only is it coming from my heart, but as I lead the singing, you'll see me raise my hand on certain phrases of the song. That's to try to get something happening in your mind and your heart and to let God know, Lord, our heart's in tune with you. We really want this, or we really appreciate this, Lord. It's okay to raise your hand in church during the song. It's okay to say amen. It's okay to shout hallelujah. That's all right. It ought to be an exciting, enjoyable time to come in this sanctuary with the saints of God, assemble together, and do all that we do while we're here focusing on Jesus. That'll be fun. That'll be exciting. Doesn't mean that it never includes rebuke. Doesn't mean that it never includes sadness and conviction over sin, repentance. I don't know if you remember when David wrote Psalm 51, he asked God to restore unto him the what of his salvation, the joy of his salvation, and he wasn't going to get there until he repented of that sin, and he knew that. Maybe that's why we're not excited. Maybe that's why we're not joyful, because we haven't got things clear with God sometimes. Amen, preacher. David said, we were all over this during the 90th anniversary. David said, Psalm 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad. I didn't go kicking and screaming, right? He went on his own volition. He was happy to go there. He was excited to be there. This is a verse, Psalm 84:10. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I was standing out here a couple of Sundays ago, and just so happened everybody in this parking lot showed up at the same time and walked in church at the same time. And so I opened the door. I can't remember who it was for, Brother George maybe, Miss Nola. And I opened that door, and then here comes Miss Ann and Miss Riley, and then here comes Brother Gary and Miss Wanda, and people just kept filing in. And somebody said, you know, you're going to get stuck here all day. And I quoted them this verse. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. And you know, a doorkeeper, it doesn't take a whole lot of talent, does it? Thank you, Brother Adam. Being a doorkeeper, you don't have to have a title to be a doorkeeper. Anybody could do that. You don't have to have a college degree. Amen. You don't have to go to Bible school. You don't have to know much about the Bible other than to be happy. But to be a doorkeeper is fun. It's fun to stand there and hold the door for people. We go to these competitions, ODAX, and go down to the national competition, and somebody will be nice, and they'll hold the door open, and 100 people go in while they're standing there. And I've just gotten to where I just go on through, and I just pat them on the shoulder and say, thanks. That's pretty easy to be a doorkeeper. Boy, a doorkeeper can really affect a lot of things. Sometimes you just wish you could just be a doorkeeper, not have to worry about anything else. And so this word exciting, I hope coming to church is exciting to you. I hope coming to church is something you anticipate. I hope assembling together with the saints is something that you enjoy, and it's something that's profitable to you spiritually. The world is a master at appealing to the excitement of the flesh. And we're going to draw a line of distinction right here, because our church, for all these years, we have tried and strove, whatever the past tense of that word is. We have really worked hard to not make this a fleshly fest when we're here. We have really tried hard to keep the carnality out so that our spirituality can benefit from that. And yet today we have organizations that call themselves churches. And because the people got bored with the preaching, or they got bored with the hymns, and they got bored with whatever the conservative service was, they start bringing in the fleshly entertainment so it can be enjoyable again. And that's not what we're after. We're not interested in providing entertainment. We're not interested in itching ears and tickling your senses and causing the chills to go down your spine if necessarily. We're not necessarily into those things. We don't want the flesh to have the fest. We want the new man, the spiritual man, to be encouraged. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, "It is scarcely possible in most places to get anyone to attend a meeting where the only attraction is God." Man, he's right about that. You know, I kind of missed having the tent meeting this year, didn't y'all? Maybe not. It's a lot of work to put that thing up. Anyway, I missed having it. Maybe it caused some people to think whether they missed the rapture or not, but I missed having it. And you know, that tent meeting, I wish more people would come to it. We could get more people there. We could have the big names, and we could have the popular groups, and we could do all those things. But then folks coming for the wrong reason. The only attraction we have to offer at that tent meeting is Jesus Christ. And He ought to be the most attractive thing in the world. The only attraction that we have to offer at Spring City Baptist Church is Jesus Christ. I mean, sure, we're going to have vacation Bible school, and we're going to have some silliness around it, but that is going to be all focused on the return of Jesus Christ and folks being saved and ready to meet their God. That's all we know to do. And in my mind, Lord Jesus Christ, He's the most beautiful thing ever. He's the greatest thing ever. Altogether lovely, the Bible says. And so many churches today are resembling in their church services worldly excitement. And so it looks like a rock concert, or you know, they got coffee and donuts in the back, so you can bring that in and stain the carpet and the pew and the church or the seats. And listen, there's nothing wrong with seats. Don't think that I'm against that. But the point is, coming to church ought to be exciting. And it ought to be exciting to the new man, the spiritual man, not the old man. If we're a new creature in Christ Jesus, old things are passed away. The things that I used to enjoy before I got saved, now they shouldn't be exciting to me anymore. Or if they are, I should just tell myself, no, we're not going to do that. But now this new man, all that thrills my soul is Jesus, and the Holy Ghost says, hallelujah. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim, and the flesh says, oh man, not that again, and the Holy Ghost says, hallelujah. And we didn't sing this one tonight because I didn't feel like lying in church. I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, and houses and lands, than anything. Boy, I hope that's true about us. And the reality is, church, Bible-believing church like ours, you know, we can't compete with what's on Facebook. We can't compete with YouTube. We can't compete with TikTok and Instagram. We can't compete with the social media stuff. And I know it bores people to death when the screen doesn't change every 3 seconds. I get it. But that's not what church is about. And the more we can divorce ourselves from the entertainment of the world, probably the more exciting church will become. And so we can't compete with social media. We can't compete with sports. We can't compete with carnal pleasures. And so many churchgoers don't come to church excited And when they get here, they're not excited, but they're just existing. They're just existing. If we think about what does it mean to be just an existing churchgoer, well, they may attend, but they don't pay attention. They may attend, but they don't pay attention. They may endure the service, but they certainly don't enjoy the service. They may endure the service, but they don't enjoy the service. They come out of duty, not out of a heart's desire. It's habit, it's tradition, fill it in, whatever. It's any other reason than wanting to come to church. And what that produces, that existing attitude, what that produces is lukewarmness. It produces powerlessness in our lives, form of godliness, denying the power thereof. It makes, you'll think church is boring. And it produces, if it spreads throughout the congregation enough, it produces just a dead, vain orthodoxy. We come together, we sing the songs, we listen to the pastor, and we haven't really paid attention to anything that's gone on. We haven't really engaged with the Lord in our heart and in our mind and our soul with the preaching of the Word of God. We didn't pay attention to one of the words that we sang in the songs. In fact, we couldn't even tell after 5 minutes after singing them, which ones did we even sing? Walk out and say, where was the pastor preaching today? No fellowship. Just as soon as it's over, out the door, back in the car, back to the house. It's just existing. Of course, the Bible's warned us a few places. Proverbs 4:23, Lord told us to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Come over to Jude with me. Y'all need to turn, amen, just to be engaged. Jude. Look with me in verse 20 when you get there. Jude verse 20. The Bible says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. So when we're talking about not loving the world, what we should be loving is loving God. We're to provoke one another unto love. What's that? The love of God, the love of the church, the love of the Bible, the love of preaching, the love of singing, the love of serving, the love of ministering, the love of fellowshipping. Amen. Keep yourselves in the love of God, the Bible says, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And that's something that it's a command to every one of us that are saved. We'll never look at the church and say, well, it's that problem or that fault or that thing. As we preached this morning, the Lord give us power to get through some things and to handle some difficulties and to just keep going despite things that aren't exactly perfect in the way we want them to be. And the Lord says, building up yourselves, verse 20, on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. You don't have to turn there, but Isaiah 55, the Bible commands, seek ye the Lord, what? While he may be found. Isaiah 1:18, the Lord told that nation of Israel, and I think he extends the same thing to us today. He told that nation of Israel, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Do you think when you come to church, God wants to work on your heart? I think he does. I think it's one of the reasons that we come 3 times a week. It's probably not enough, honestly, in the day and time we live in to combat the world and all the things that are bombarding us with trying to get our attention and our love and our affection. But listen, Bible says, come now, let us reason together. God desires to work in your heart and in my heart and in your heart and in your heart. Every time we assemble together in this sanctuary, the Holy Ghost of God's wanting to do some work. None of us have arrived, amen. We're striving for perfection, but we're not there yet. And God says, won't you come together and let us reason for a little while? Lord says, let me reason with you out of my word, out of the scriptures about your life and about your desires and about your plans and about about the troubles and the trials and fill it in. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. And of course, Psalm 37:4, that great verse, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And so a church member, a churchgoer, I should say, that's not excited, they're merely existing. And if they merely exist long enough and they never get re-excited about the things of God, chances are very soon they'll be exiting. There'll be that group that says, I used to go to that church. Brother Mark, if we had a dollar for every door we've knocked on and told them where we're from, I used to go over there. We'd build a whole new sanctuary. Not that we need to, but I used to. And I started asking, why don't you anymore? And a lot of them just say, well, I just quit going. You know why? Because at one point they lost the excitement and began to just exist. And they existed long enough, they just got bored out of their mind. And they said, I'm not going back over there. And the preaching didn't change. And the singing of the hymns didn't change. And the Bible didn't change. Most of the people didn't change. It used to. Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that's where we're at today, some shall depart, there's that exiting, from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Do you know what seducing spirits are? They're exciting. There's a whole lot of noise, and there's a whole lot of activity, and there's a whole lot of this and a whole lot of that, but it's all intended to get somebody away from the truth and the doctrine of the Word of God. Look, it's why the New Age churches are booming, because there's seducing spirits in that. It's why the charismatic movement is still strong today, because there's seducing spirits in that. It's why the Mormon church is growing and the Jehovah's Witnesses are growing, because there's seducing spirits, and it's exciting, and it's full of all this fleshly entertainment and fleshly appeal, and people are just drawn to it. They don't even realize what's happening. Some shall depart. And what are they departing from? Verse 1. From the faith. The place that preaches the truth. The Bible that preaches the truth. They're leaving that. And being seduced by spirits and doctrines of devils. Verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And here's some of those doctrines of devils. Lord have mercy. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats. Those are whacked out people. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And Paul's going through there and talk all about this stuff that Timothy's going to have to deal with in Ephesus. But the point is, verse 1, some are going to depart. They're exiting from the place that they need to be. And the reason they're exiting is because of that appeal to the flesh. The appeal to the flesh. Now, there are people in America today that attend churches that are dead as a doornail spiritually. And to those people, I would say either you need to leave that church and go to a better church that's alive spiritually, or you need to start one. But to just sit in a dead church and exist is miserable. It's miserable. And I'll say this tonight. If any of you feel that way about Spring City, would you please come talk to me? Just come talk to me. I won't be mad. I won't be upset. I won't defend myself to the death. But I don't want this to be miserable for anybody. We want this to be an edifying time. We want this to be an exciting time. We want this to be something that you can look forward to throughout your week. Man, I get to go to church on Sunday. Man, I get to go to church Wednesday night and get a little shot for the rest of the week. Amen. Man. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I know, I understand, I am not the most dynamic person in the world. I can tend to be a little bit boring, and I'm sorry about that. I'm certainly not what some of the other men that have been here are. But I really do want to help this church. I really do want to put you in the best position in your life spiritually, and I really do want you to come and enjoy being here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, the Bible says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, and is appearing in his kingdom. There's your two future judgments, amen. Preach the word. Preach the word. Well, what Spring City Baptist Church have to offer? The word of God. We've had some folks come through here and they sit down with me and say, what do you have to offer our teenagers? I said, the Bible. I think somebody asked Brother Brent that one time, and he looked back at him and said, what do you have to offer our church? Why do we need anything other than the Bible? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they, who's that? Save people that go to church. When they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts. Does that sound carnal to you? After their own lusts. That sounds like the flesh. After their own lusts shall heap, they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Well, preacher, we're not getting fed here. And so we're going to go down the road. That guy's a little more dynamic than you are. Heard it. And I'm not the only pastor that's heard it. Well, preacher, it's just boring. The music's boring and the preaching's boring and nobody wants to talk to us. It's because they leave right after, as soon as amen, they're out the door. Before everybody even stands up, they're going out the door. It's no way to be in a church. I love sitting around just chatting after service. You know what that does? That keeps everybody close. That keeps everybody knit together. Now, if you got to go to the bathroom, by all means, excuse yourself. Right? But if you can sit around and talk for a few minutes, it'd be good. You don't have to stay for 14 hours every night. I won't stay that long. The time will come when they will not endure. Just endure until the end. That doesn't sound very fun, does it? That doesn't sound very exciting. That doesn't sound very enjoyable. Man, it'd be miserable to come to church and just be enduring it. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Why? Because fairy tales are exciting. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, people would rather hear that than hear Moses crossing the Red Sea. The kids today grow up on Disney and Amazon and everything else, and they'd rather watch a make-believe SpongeBob than hear the preacher preach about Elijah calling down fire from heaven. They might even think that SpongeBob is more real than Elijah calling down fire from heaven. Anyway. Be turned unto fables. How sad. How sad. You know, we don't have time for this. Over in John chapter 6, Jesus was... I would say he was in a heated exchange with those Pharisees in John chapter 6. And they were challenging him, and he was trying to answer them so they weren't wise in their own conceit. Amen. Proverbs 25. And they'd challenge him, and he'd answer them, and he'd challenge him, and he'd answer them, and he tells them the truth every single time. And they get down there about verse 63, and the Bible says his disciples now look at him and say, it's a hard saying. And the Bible says that many of them turned and went away from him. They left him. And there stands the 12. Boy, don't you know, that just broke our Savior's heart. He's trying to help these people. He's trying to tell them the truth. He's trying to win them to God so that they can be saved. And they turn and they walk away. And he looks at those 12 men and he says, will you also go away? And boy, Peter looks at him with one of the great answers Peter came up with. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. In other words, Peter said, where are we going to go? I pray with all that's in me that nobody sitting here tonight is considering exiting Spring City Baptist Church. But if you are, I would ask you, where are you going to go? If God moves people out of this church to the mission field, we're sad to see them go, but we'll salute that effort all day long. God moves people out of this church to a different place in America, and they go to another strong Bible-believing Baptist church, and they're involved in that church, I'll salute that all day long. We've been the recipient of Brother Gary and Miss Wanda coming all the way back across the state and getting in a Bible-believing church. I know Pastor Weems, because I called him, I know Pastor Weems was so happy that they landed in a good, solid, fundamental Bible-believing church. And he was all for it. Misses seeing him, I'm sure. But he's all for it. But boy, for somebody to exit a church like this and go to a weaker church or a liberal church or no church at all, it hurts our heart. But it doesn't just hurt our heart. It hurts the heart of the one who died for them. And so tonight, I don't know the Lord's purpose in this. I'm just trying to preach what felt like He wanted me to preach. I hope that church coming here is exciting for you. Hope you enjoy it. Hope you look forward to it.